You got your Bibles today? We're going to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, and going to try to conclude our lesson today. No promises. While you're turning there to Philippians chapter number 4, good to have Donna with us today. We're so excited. And then also Brother Deontay's brother, is it Jayshon? We're so thrilled that you're with us today. Amen. Very, very happy about that. And then it's also good to have the Worths back with us. We're excited about them being here. Amen. We love them, appreciate them, and we miss them when they're not here. Amen. All right, let's go to Philippians chapter number 4, and we're reading verse number 8. And the Bible said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. Think on these things. Praise God. All right. God bless you, and you may be seated. Now, they told me today, and they warned me, that Sunday school was going to try to be louder than us. And so, amen. If they get your attention, just respond or get up and move to the other side of the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we've been here for a couple of weeks. We have been talking about the battle that is in the mind, the battleground that the enemy wants, desires, and we talked about it in depth the last couple of weeks. Last week we did more review and then picking up a little bit before we got on into a little bit further. But we started off there, 1 John chapter number 4, 18 and 19. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And fear is that unpleasant emotion that is caused by belief. So that's where fear likes to reside. Fear sets up in the mind, not in the heart, but in the mind. Love sets up in the heart. And I think that the master of each of those is very prevalent and known. Master of fear is not of God, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love. And then we know that God is love. And so we understand that when God sets upon the throne, it is upon the throne of the heart. And whosoever sets on the throne of the mind is able to manipulate and to produce the thoughts of that individual until they be overthrown, the one that sets upon that throne. And so if the enemy is setting upon the throne of your mind, then he is going to be the one that is going to punch all the little codes in to produce all of the fear and to manipulate your every thought. And that is what he is desirous to do. The mind of the individual is the enemy's desired seat of authority. And if he can control your mind and he can operate that, then obviously he's going to be able to steer that individual. Fear is the paralyzing factor, the weapon that the enemy uses. We find that with Goliath. We find it with Elisha's servant that was surrounded by the enemy. Haman used fear tactics. Daniel was tried to call to be caused to fear. The three Hebrew children were tried to be overwhelmed by fear. Stephen's death tried to strike fear upon the church. And our adversary is known as a roaring lion, which is the intimidator of the jungle. Amen. And so we know that fear is able to destroy faith. The 12 spies all came back with a good report. But because that there was fear that overrode the faith, then they did not go forth and obtain the promises of God. Gideon's army, we know that the biggest the biggest setback of that entire army was those that are afraid, then go home. And that is where so many walked out that day. Amen. Praise God. And then we know that fear is going to be very prominent in the last days of time. Not only is there going to be viruses and pandemics that we are seeing in this day and age, but what is ruling all of these? Fear. Fear is all of this. Fear on all sides, on all sides. Let's just be perfectly honest. There's fear on all sides if you allow it to be. Amen. Praise God. You have people that they'll say, you know, if you wear a mask, then you don't have faith in God. And if you get the vaccine, then you don't have faith in God. And if you do get the vaccine, then there's the fear factor that's involved in all of that. So what I'm saying is there's fear that is trying to rule both sides. It's not just fear coming from one side. It's fear coming from both sides. And somewhere or another, your faith has got to rise above all of that. And you've got to be confident that your times are in God's hands. Praise the Lord. And we'll leave the rest of that alone. Amen. And so we get into today's lesson. And we talked very little bit about that last week. But we get in today about the balanced perspective of Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 8. And with this fear that is predominant, the remedy for the fear is that we have a readiness for the Word of God with all mind. Acts 17 and 11, the Bible teaches us that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily. Praise God. When I come to church, I'm coming expecting to hear from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said, I'm coming expecting to hear from God. Amen. I know that I'm the preacher, but I'm coming expecting to hear from God. Amen. There are so many times, and Brother Wirth can attest to this, but there are so many times that you don't have things written out in the notes. You don't have things even halfway studied. But as you begin to preach, amen, the anointing of the Holy Ghost begins to lead and begins to direct. And I am ministered just as much as any of the saints of God are ministered to. And that is what we've got to have. We've got to have the voice of God in these times. In times like these, we've got to have the voice of God speaking clearly to us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Paul admonished us to be of that wise. Beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. We got to get rid of the stinking thinking. We got to get into positive thinking. Praise God. We've got to make sure. Amen. Praise God. If all you ever do is sit around and read the news, I already know the way that you're thinking. If all you do is sit around and just stay on social media and all of those other things and listen to everybody around you, I already know what you're thinking. But when you get your mind and when you get your nose in the book, when you begin to read the Word of God, this is the Word of faith. And when you begin to read that word, there is something that rises up on the inside. Faith begins to come alive, and faith says, I don't have to sit here and be afraid of all of this. Amen. My times are in His hands. Praise God. I said, my times are in His hands. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not worried about today. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about what's going on in this world. I want you to know today that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Amen. If I'm to die tomorrow, there's no, there's no vaccination. There's no cure. There's no remedy. There is nothing that can prevent that. But if I'm not supposed to die tomorrow, there is really nothing but foolishness amen, that would prevent that as well. Praise God. Amen. And when I say the word foolishness, if I'm not to die tomorrow, I'm not going to go jump off a 1,000-foot cliff and say, I'm not supposed to die. It's not my time. Amen. That's foolishness. Praise God. But I have a firm belief, and my faith is forever established in the hands of God, that my times are in His hands. And I plan to leave Him right there. I'm going to let Him direct my steps. I'm going to let Him order my paths. I'm going to let Him order and direct my way of thinking as I get into His Word. Praise God. Praise God. Our minds are to be renewed, amen, so that we might be able to prove that which is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2. Amen. Then we got into 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, amen, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Praise God. You're either Superman in your imaginations or you're that little Hello Kitty. I'm sorry, that's the only thing that could come to my mind. Amen, is some little plush stuffed animal kitty. Amen. Praise God. But you know, on the other hand, in your mind, you know, you're Superman. You can whip everybody. You can defeat everything. You can go through everything. You can run through a troop and leap over a wall and all that in your imaginations and such. And all these young people, they're looking at all these other bigger guys. I can whip that person. In your mind, you know, you can. But it's either that or it's the opposite. Amen. You're afraid of everything. You're timid. You're shy. You're afraid of stepping out and all that. Amen. And so no matter what it is, he said, casting down imaginations. Do not let your mind run rampant. It's in your mind. That's what Paul said. He said, I find another war going on in my mind, warring against the members of my mind, trying to pull down the things that I know. What do I know? I know what's in the book. Amen. But there's another war that's going on in my mind that's warring against those laws that I already know. I already know that if God be for us, then who can be against us? But here I am in the fear that is coming against me, and I'm afraid to do anything. I'm afraid to step out. I'm afraid to associate. I'm afraid to fellowship. I'm afraid to talk to somebody. Afraid to go somewhere. Afraid of all of these things. Amen. And that's warring against your mind. Praise God. Amen. You've got to be careful the things that you allow your mind to ponder on. Amen. Because if you allow your mind to run wild and rampant, it's going to destroy the faith that you have. You got to bring that mind under subjection. You got to control the things that you're thinking about. Praise God. How many times have we dealt with people that have been given the spirit of assumption? Amen. The spirit of assuming everything. Amen. They assume bad. Amen. The Bible teaches us that to the pure, all things are pure. And to him that is defiled is even the conscience and the mind, amen, defiled. But we can get ourselves in a whole big mess of trouble if we just allow assumptions to control us. Amen. We got to bring that mind into captivity. We got to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's not the will of God for, amen, for you to feel your mind full of fear. It's not the will of God for you to feel, amen, your mind full of conspiracy theory and all the other things. Amen. And feelings are not facts. Amen. Praise God. You say, Pastor, what are we supposed to do in this time? It behooves us to get in the Word. It behooves us to fill our mind with as much Word as we possibly can, because it is the devil's tactic. It is the devil's tactic to rule your mind. To rule your mind. That's the devil's tactic. To rule your mind. To rule your mind. Amen. And you're going to fall on one side of the pendulum or one side of the balance or the other. You're going to be so afraid. I'm sorry I'm hung up on this here this morning, but this is just where we are. Amen. But your mind, you're either going to be over here on this side of the balance that you're afraid of the virus and you're afraid of the vaccine and you're afraid of all of this. You know, you're afraid and that. Amen. You're over here on this side. Amen. And you're operating the same way. Amen. Through the conspiracy theory and all that other stuff. And you're afraid of the vaccination. You're afraid of all that other stuff. Not going to do that. Not going to take that. Not going there and stuff like that. Somewhere or another, we've got to find the peace of God that passes understanding. You're not going to find that peace on the internet. You're not going to find that peace, amen, in anywhere but in the Word of God. But when you begin to read the Word of God, there is a peace that passes understanding, amen, because the Prince of Peace, the author of every word that is in there, becomes alive, and you begin to feel Him. Amen. You cannot feel, amen, all of these other authors, amen, as they wrote their books. And I was just trying to think of one to throw out there, nevertheless, amen. But you can't feel their spirit, amen. You might be able to feel, amen, what's going on in the book, but when you begin to read the Word of God, the author shows up. The author shows up. Hallelujah. And there is a peace that passes all understanding. And that is where we have got to be. Praise the Lord. And that's why Jesus said, amen, when he was asked concerning the first commandment, he said that, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength." You've got to bring into captivity these thoughts. Before you give yourself to decisions, you've got to seek the counsel of God. Before you make decisions, amen, line it up with the Word of God. I just want to reiterate here tonight that God's will never supersede His Word. His Word is forever established in heaven. It will be His Word that we are going to be judged by. So don't come tell me, amen, what the will of God is if it doesn't line up with His Word. The will of God will line up with the Word of God. Though heaven and earth pass away, the Word of God shall never pass away. Amen. Though the earth, the grass fadeth, amen, the flower fadeth and the grass withereth, amen, but the Word of God shall stand forever. Praise God. And so you're to love the Lord your God with all of your soul, your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Praise God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 63 times throughout the Bible, amen, that little phrase, "fear not," is in there. Amen. Fear not. 63 times, fear not, fear not, fear not. Why? Because that is hell's emphatic tool to get you to fear. And we're not just fearing a vaccination. We're not just fearing a virus. It's everything. It's everything. Amen. In life. And you begin to look at it. I mean, we're fearing war. Amen. Just this past week, everybody's got certain wars for, amen, certain words for the president. Amen. And what he did and how he allowed these things to happen, right or wrong. Amen. It just happens. And so there's fear. You know, are we going back to war? We just got out of Afghanistan. Are we going back? Amen. What's going to happen? These poor young 18, 19-year-old teenagers, Marines, that's going back, and everybody's afraid of these things. And everybody on the other side, China's, amen, shaking their fists, and all this other things happening. There's a fear that is there. And the Bible teaches us that in the last days that men's heart will fail him for fear. For fear, for fear, for fear. Praise God. Amen. And that's what we've got to get beyond all of these things. Praise God. So all of that was free. Now we get into today's lesson. Hallelujah. And it'll be free too. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. And so Paul, the one that told us that we are to cast down imaginations and that we are to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He also tells us. Now, one of the things that is important here is where he tells us from. And at the time that he is writing the book of Philippians, he is in a dark, dank dungeon. He's in prison. And so the atmosphere is not very positive around him. Amen. The power of positive thinking would be very good for Paul to read about that time. But he didn't have to do that. Amen. He had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so from a prison, Paul begins to write the book of rejoicing. The book of rejoicing. In prison, where his mind and his thoughts ought to be overwhelmed with negativity. In prison, eating prison food and fighting the rats and the cockroaches and the smell and all of those other things that is prominent there. In prison, where all of this should be, Paul is positive. I wish sometimes we could just get people about half as positive as Paul was in prison. Amen. And so here is Paul in prison, and he's shackled up, and he's got a pen, and he is writing a book unto the church in Philippi. Amen. And it would be known as the book of rejoicing. He wrote in there, he said, "Rejoice, I say unto you," and again he said, "Rejoice evermore, and I say unto you again, rejoice." And so here, when his mind is supposed to be overwhelmed with depression and discouragement and despair and all of these things, and his mind is supposed to be, amen, bent and overwhelmed by the circumstance, Paul gives us a key to life, and he says this. He said, "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, and lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Paul, how can you write about rejoicing while you're in prison? How can you write about rejoicing, amen, when you don't have liberty, when you're on death row? How can you write about rejoicing? Preacher, how can you preach about rejoicing when? How am I supposed to rejoice when my finances, amen, are on the bottom? How am I supposed to rejoice when the doctor didn't have a good report? How am I supposed to rejoice, amen, when nothing in my life is going right? How am I supposed to rejoice? Amen. When everybody is against me, Paul gives us the answer how to do this. Praise God. Amen. And we need to overdose on Paul's word today. We don't need to take this, amen, in meager elements. We don't need to take this by sips. Amen. We need to open the lid and we need to chug it down. We need to swallow huge doses of this. Whatsoever things are true and pure and lovely and just and honest good report. We need to think upon these things. Now, I can already tell you some of you are jumping ahead of me, but that's okay. That's okay. We're going to fix all of that before we go home today. Amen. I'm trying to be a little bit long-winded because they said they didn't have much time to do all their stuff. Praise God. Not really, but amen. Praise God. We're going to get there today. We're going to get there today. And so this particular verse, referenced and quoted oftentimes, it has balance that must be taken into context. Amen. You cannot take this literally, even though we think that we can. You cannot take this literally, and we're going to get into that here in just a minute. You've got to take it on a whole. When the doctor prescribes you a pill, you can't crush it up and just take out what you think that you need and then just brush everything else. You got to take it as a whole. That pill has all kinds of ingredients and all kinds of things that are in there that makes it what it is. You can't get a little stomper deal and mash it all up into fine powder and start trying to sift through it and just pull out certain ingredients. No, you got to take it as a whole so that you can get the full benefits of it. All right, so let's walk through here. Whatsoever things are true. Well, if it's true, then it's not false. So then we need to stop thinking about false things. We need to stop thinking, amen, and majoring on assumptions. But whatsoever things are true, amen, then that's the things that we ought to think about. What things are true? Well, there's a lot of things that's true, and we'll get into some of that here in a little bit, but let's just take the cream of the crop. Jesus is true. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if I'm going to think about whatsoever things are true, I could think about Jesus. I could think about God. Amen. And it could sure help me out. The Bible teaches us that thy word is truth. Sanctify them with truth, for thy word is truth. Amen. So I could start thinking about the Bible. Ho, praise God. Amen. I could get long-winded right now. But you know what? This Bible helps us. This is what we've been talking about already this morning. That when we begin to think about the Word of God, that's true. It's powerful. Amen. We can call to these things. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, O God. Amen. As he began to write, I saw brother Doug today, and I saw him the other day at Lowe's. Can you imagine that? We just kind of ran into each other at Lowe's, and we got to thinking. And you know what we were thinking about? We were thinking about Scripture. Amen. We were thinking about Psalms chapter number 1 about the blessed man. We were talking about the blessed man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Hey, how can you think negative when you begin to think about that? Amen. Friend, that is in God's word. Amen. That if you're not walking in the way of, walking in the counsel of the ungodly, if you're not standing in the way of sinners, if you're not sitting in the seat of the scornful, then you shall be blessed, and blessed indeed. And in his law doth he meditate both day and night, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. We began to talk about that. Amen. God takes these hands. Amen. And he blesses these hands. And whatever I apply my hands to, God is going to bless it. Amen. That's why your employer wants you to work for them. Amen. Your employer ought not want you to go to work for anybody else. Amen. Because they don't understand it. But there's something about you that no matter where you are, you cheer folks up. No matter where you are, amen, you're doing good. The job is prospering. No matter what assignment you're on, amen, you're making money on that job. They consider you a good worker. Why? Because you are blessed. You're blessed when you go in. You're blessed when I'm in Deuteronomy chapter number 28 now. You're blessed when you go in. You're blessed when you go out. Amen. You shall be the head and not the tail. Amen. You'll be able to go in one way. Amen. And come out. Amen. Multiple times over with blessings. Try me now, herewith saith the Lord, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive. Hey, I'm still in the Word today, and it's still true. You can stand upon that Word. You can bank upon that Word. There's not one jot, one tittle that's going to fade away. It's not going to pass away. It is for you. Hey, devil, I just got a word for you today. You go ahead and try to hold on all you want, but your day's coming, because he that is from above is above all, and he said that he was going to rebuke the devourer for my sake. I don't have to be about, I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you, Satan. I'm just going to go on about my business, because one of these days you're going to step over the line and God's going to say, that's far enough. And he said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Praise God. The word of God is true. Amen. Paul's approach to error when writing his letters to the churches was to expound the truths of God and to mention as little as possible about false heresies. For example, get into the book of Ephesians. Now, the book of the city of Ephesus was known. In the book of Acts, it talks about the great goddess Diana was right there in Ephesus. And I want to say it was like for 2.5 hours, something like that, that they just kept saying over and over and over, great is the goddess Diana of Ephesus, great is the goddess. And you get upset because we sing the same song, you know, 2 times in 3 weeks. This for like, if I remember correctly, it's like for 2.5 hours, they just sat there, great is the goddess Diana of Ephesus, great is the goddess of Diana of Ephesus, great is the god of Diana of Ephesus. On and on and on. That's what, you know what Diana was? That was an image. And the goldsmith and the silversmith had built this and they had worked upon it. It was elaborate. And it became one of the 7 wonders of the world. So we're talking about a huge part of Ephesus. Now go back to the book of Ephesians. And you think that Paul would have taken a chisel and a hammer and just tried to destroy the goddess Diana? No. Ephesians 4 and 5 is about all that it got to. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Let's move on. And he is talking about love, and he's talking about all these other things. He's talking about, amen, parents. He's talking about husbands and wives and children and all these other things. But he didn't even give part to the goddess Diana of Ephesus. We don't even have time to go there. This is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in you all. All right, next. Let's move on. So what I'm saying is he didn't give a whole lot of time to false doctrine and heresies and bad omens and bad things that was happening. He just taught. He just put it forth, the things that we should do. And he expounded, amen, about God. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 1. Woo! Praise God. I mean, he just goes on and on and on and on about who God is. He's joy, he's peace, he's love, and on and on and on. He just talking truth. Just talking truth. That's it. Just talking truth. Praise God. Amen. Not allowing the gift of assumption to get in the way. Amen. Of facts. Praise God. He just guided on down to it. Think on the things that are true. And then he goes on a little bit further and he said, whatsoever things are honest. Think upon the things that are honest. In other words, this just means think upon the things that are honorable. The things that are respectable. Keep your mind out of the gutter. Concentrate on thoughts, amen, of nobler things. Crudeness and coarseness should not have no place in the minds of the child of God. Keep your mind upon respectable things. And when you do so, it'll keep your mind out of the gutters of a sex-sensual world. Thinking on things that are honest. Thinking on things that are honest. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I'm not going to chase that rabbit. I'm not going to chase that rabbit. I'm not going to chase. I'm just going to keep on going on. Amen. Thinking upon the things that are honest. Praise God. A little Sunday school song says, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down with love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. We're talking about being honest. Amen. You can't give your eyes, amen, to looking at all the things of the world when they're dressed in hardly anything more than just underclothes. You got to keep your mind honest. Keep your mind honest. Praise God. I know it's out there and I know you're going to see it, but you don't have to look twice. You don't have to sit there and gawk. Keep your mind honest. Because otherwise, impure thoughts are going to flood your mind. You got to keep your mind honest. Whatsoever things are just. The word just translates means righteous and comes from the root word of right. Amen. And so we need to think about the things that are righteous. The victims of injustice are the chief prey. Bear in mind, when Paul wrote this letter, he's been in jail. And he's been in jail without cause. Without cause. Amen. He hasn't murdered anybody. He hasn't robbed anybody. He didn't hold up the Pony Express or anything else like that. He just preached the Word of God. Just doing the will of God. And he gets thrown in jail. All right? But he does not allow his mind to stay upon the unjust things. He continues to think about the righteousness of God. He continues to think about the justness of God. God is faithful. God is faithful. I remember one time I had I have never been a job hopper. And most of the time I'm committed to way past I should have jumped overboard or something. But nevertheless, I had a boss that was extremely good to me. And I had gotten married and was on my honeymoon, and he quit. He quit and he went to another company. And so when I went back, a man that did not like me at all had become my boss. And he just asked me straight up, he said, "When are you going with him?" And I said, "As soon as he offers me a better job." And because I knew we clashed all the time. And it was just spirits. I'm not saying he was a Satanist, but he probably wasn't too far from it. But we just clashed all the time. And so, you know, the opportunity presented itself, and I moved on and went and joined my former boss and started working with him. Well, his boss came in, and he said, "All right," he said, "I don't need him here working for you. I need him over here working." I was like, "Well, okay, that's fine. I mean, I don't have to have him to work and stuff." And so I go over there, and I'm working for somebody else, and I get in with a man named Fred. Well, I've been there for 2 days. I just got married, you know, I got a wife, I got a support, I got bills, I got a house payment, got car payments and all this other stuff, you know, and I got a good job. I've been there for 2 days. That was a Wednesday and Thursday. On Friday, Fred gets up and he's like, starts announcing layoffs. And he said, "All right," he said, "we're going to start layoffs next week." He said, "And the layoffs is going to go by seniority." Like, well, better go to the go to the bean line or something, you know. I'm done. I just got here 2 days ago. Layoffs going to go by seniority. And so I just worked hard. I worked hard the whole next week. And so he come around, he starts laying people off, and he bypasses me. And so we make it to the second week, and he bypasses me. But you know what? My mind is still afraid. I've still got fear. I was like, "Man, I know it. I'm next. I mean, how much longer can I last?" And I was afraid. And so I went to him one day, and I caught him off the side, and I said, "Hey, Fred, I said, I want to talk to you for a second." He said, "Okay." I said, "Look, Fred, I said, I need a job." And he's like, "Well, okay, you got one." I was like, no. I know you're laying off people. But if you're going to lay me off, can you give me a little bit of time? Can you tell me? I can line something up." I said, "I just got married. I got a house. I got cars. I got all this. I got a support. I got this stuff." I said, "I don't want to be without work. I said, I got to have a job and stuff, you know. I'd love to stay here. But if you got to lay me off, can you let me know as quickly as you possibly can?" He just looked at me and he said, "Let's make a deal." I said, "Okay." He said, "If you weren't worried about getting laid off, I won't lay you off." Well, that's a deal. I went right back to work. So I allowed my mind, that fear that was in my mind, to dominate me for over 2 weeks before I finally approached him. Now, the last part of the story, I didn't know this until a couple of years, 2 or 3 years later. And so Fred, I had been sent to other jobs and stuff. And so Fred and I never worked again together for about 2 or 3 years. And then all of a sudden we're back together and we're working together on a job. And he's like, "Hey, how are you doing?" I'm like, "Fred, I hadn't seen you in forever." And he's like, "Yeah." So now I'm a foreman in the company and stuff. And so we're talking about stuff. And I said, man, "I was so afraid. I said, I went to work for you, and 2 days later, you said that you was going to start layoffs, and it was by seniority. I said, I knew I was gone." He said, "No, you was never gone." I'm like, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "This is what Bill said," and Bill was the big boss. He said, "This is what Bill told me." He said, "Fred," he said, "next week you need to start laying everybody off, laying people off." And he's like, "Okay." And he said, "I don't care how you do it. You can do it by seniority. You can do whatever you want." And he's like, "Okay." He said, "But you see that young kid over there?" And he's like, "Yeah." And he said, "You can't touch him. You can't touch him." And he's like, "He just got here 2 days ago. How can I justify not laying him off, and I'm laying all of these other guys off?" He said, "I don't care how you do it, but you can't touch him." And I said, "So you could?" He said, "No, I couldn't. And it was because my former boss had given me such high recommendation and stuff. But you know, I allow my mind to be overwhelmed by fear at that time. And here I am newly wed and all these bills and all this other stuff. And I'm just afraid and stuff. But I needed to think upon the things that were just. The things that were just. The things that was, God is just. God is faithful. And if I'd have just thought, you know what, God, you're faithful, and I don't know what's going to happen in this, and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to put my best foot forward. I'm just going to do my best work, my best job, and I'm going to let you take care of all the rest of it. Amen. Whatsoever things are just. Praise the Lord. Amen. So now, these first three things, when we talk about truth, when we talk about whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, these first three things, they promote the inner character. Amen. And the last three things promotes inner cleanliness, and they are much harder to keep. And we're going to walk through these next three things very quickly because there's one place that I want to go before I sum it all up. But he said, whatsoever things are pure, we're talking about inner cleanliness. Impure things are readily available to the touch of a button or to the turn of a head. Very, very quick in the day and the age that we live in. Amen. You can get yourself into impure areas extremely quickly. Very, very quickly. It used to be that you'd have to go to some gas station and you'd have to be a certain age, amen, so that you could buy a certain magazine, amen. But that's no longer the case anymore. You can do it on your phone, your iPad, your iPod, your computer. You can do whatever you want, whenever you want to do it. And you don't even have to have yours. You can have your friends. Because everybody's got access to all of these things. Amen. But Paul said that we need to think upon the things that are pure. Praise God. Amen. Once given place to the impure thoughts, amen, they are extremely difficult to evict. Amen. I just talk, we got adults here, but that's why the pornography is such a problem. Amen. Because Ezekiel began to talk about the chambers of the mind. Amen. The vision. Amen. There's things that you will never, ever, ever forget. Amen. The things that you see. And so you've got to concentrate, casting down imaginations, bringing into captivity every thought. And you have got to focus upon the things that are pure. And then he said, whatsoever things are lovely. Again, it would be easy to think about the unlovely things because they are the more abundant things in our lives. Amen. It just seems to be. Amen. Not everything. This is an old southern term or a southern phrase, but everything's not hunky-dory anymore. Amen. Everything is got some type, amen, of negativity. And it just seems like we're on the verge of being overwhelmed by life, whether it's sickness or finances or job problems. Amen. Marital problems, family problems. Amen. Whatever it is, it just seems like we are there. And so Paul says that we need to concentrate and to think upon lovely things. Amen. True love rather than erotic behavior. Amen. And focus upon these things. The next thing he says is whatsoever things are of a good report. And once more, too many times the bad report outnumbers the good report 10 to 1. But Paul, he's got many, many bad reports to think about. But notice that he summed up most of all of his life's troubles. His entire life, I'm telling you, there's nobody that went through things like Paul went through. Amen. Paul went through all kinds of things. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was in perils and all of this. Amen. But you know how he circumvented, amen, or how that he brought all of that into a conclusion in two verses. His entire life, amen, right there in the book of 2 Corinthians, amen, chapter number 11, amen, I'm sorry, that's actually 10 verses, but right there in chapter number 11, verse 23 through 33, amen, Paul uses 10 verses, amen, to talk about, amen, being in perils of robbers and perils of mine own countrymen, amen, of the Jews received I 40 stripes, save one 5 times, and all all of these things. Amen. He just talked about it so quickly and moved on because there was other things there to talk about. Amen. And to accentuate. Amen. He didn't focus upon the bad reports. Amen. Of his entire life, of every beating that he took. Amen. And all of the other. No. He chose to focus upon the good report of life. He say, I don't have a whole lot to think about. Amen. Concerning the good. I promise you, when you begin to focus and begin to accentuate the good that is in your life, you say, I don't have anything. You've got God, and God is good, and God is faithful, and God will never leave you nor forsake you. And when you begin to think about the blessings that have flowed upon you, amen, because God loads you daily with benefits, and when you begin to think upon all of these things, it's hard to keep a negative mind going when you begin to focus upon God and His good reports. Praise the Lord. Let's just love the Lord here this morning. Praise the Lord. Think on these things, Paul writes. This verse is good for good, successful Christian living. But a quick glance and inadequate time would cause the reader to miss the balance of what Paul says. And this is where I want to finish up today. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are true. I heard you loud and clear a little while ago. Pastor, you don't understand all the true things that are going on in my life right now. And they are very true. They're not embellished. They're not drawn out of proportion, blown up out of proportion. These things are very true in my life. Well, no matter what, marital problems, sibling problems, parental problems, children problems, health problems. You know, if the doctor said you got cancer, that's true. The doctor says, amen, that you've got a few months to live. That's true. And you could literally drive yourself crazy thinking about everything that's true. Thinking about the sicknesses, issues, problems, everything that is true. But this is where I'm talking about that you cannot take this pill and smash it up and just take out little ingredients here and there and expect it to do the job. You've got to take it as a whole. You could drive yourself crazy thinking about everything that is true, things that are no error in them. They're not embellished, but hard documented facts. Why? Because many times life is not fair. It's not fair. If it was fair, we would have 13 military individuals still alive instead of in a coffin somewhere. If life was fair, then those that have lost their lives before 70 years of age in this past week, amen, they would have all lived. Because somewhere or another the Bible talked about 70 years given unto a man. Though we know that it is appointed unto man once to die. It's not fair, because when we go out to the cemetery, we see plots that are small as well as plots that are big. We see dates that are separated by dashes that equate to long periods of time, such as Elder Paul Price passing away this past week at 99 years of age. But then we have, amen, a pastor's wife, Sister Epley, that didn't even make it to 70 years of age that passed away. And then I read this morning of a man that was 30 years old that passed away. Life is not always fair. And if all that I do is think upon these things that are extremely true, then my faith is going to begin to falter. And then I'm going to have to say that faltering faith is true. Preacher, I'm losing my faith. Preacher, I don't have the faith that I need to have. And then on top of all of that, the enemy knows how to accentuate all the negative things and generating fear. But yet when I take Paul's entire verse into context, thinking upon the things that are lovely brings things into balance. And lovely things often become true things. And my mind begins to ponder upon these things because God is lovely and God is true. And this is where that you have got to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is where that you have got to major. No matter what happens in life, I'm going to help somebody out here right now. No matter what life does to you. I heard somebody tell me not too long ago, hey man, as I sat and I talked with them just a couple of weeks ago, and they said it like this. They said, then if God is true and God is real, then why? As tears began to pool up into their eyes. And friend, that's the sin factor. That's the sin factor. Sin brings death. Sin brings pain. Amen. Doing those things that are wrong. The wages of sin is death. And God did not have that in his plan when he first put man into the garden. He had a remedy that was already set, knowing that it was going to happen. But that was not his plan. Amen. For it to happen. And so you oftentimes feel the sting of sin. You feel the sting of death. You feel these things because we live life. We have these things. You're going to feel, amen, you're going to feel financial squeeze. You're going to feel untimely deaths. You're going to feel, amen, as I talked with Elder Epley for just a few short minutes of time, and he said, she was my soulmate for 46 years, and he said, the remainder of my life shall be filled every day with tears. Friend, those are things that are going to be true, more than likely, to a great degree. Things that will never disappear, never go away. And you can say that these things are true and I just cannot get away from them. But you've got to begin to think about the lovely things. You've got to begin to think about the pure things. You've got to begin to think about the honest things. You've got to begin to think about the things that are of a good report. And when you begin to think upon these things, the life that has been so out of balance and you've been overwhelmed by even the things that are true begin to balance themselves out, and it makes living life a whole lot easier, amen, than just going through thinking about the things that are true but are negative. But it doesn't stop there. Let's begin to think, amen, even deeper into all of this. Because we can major upon negative things being true. But I've got one question to ask you, or several questions that are in the same line of thinking as we begin to think about the balance of Philippians 4 and 8 and how that we balance out the things that are true. Amen. You can think to yourself concerning whatever it is. Let's just say, amen, that there is an individual that is going through a divorce. And divorce is extremely rude and painful and hard and cruel. Amen. And there is the fear factor that is in there. There's nothing good, amen, that causes you to fear and desire, amen, divorce, unless it's some type of spouse that's beating you or whatever. But nevertheless, we're forgetting all of that. Amen. And so you're going through these things. Amen. And these things are extremely true. And you're pondering these things. And these things happen to you. And you've got a hurt heart. You've got a ripped heart. Your feelings are scattered like glass that has been cast down. down upon a tile floor somewhere. Amen. And you think to yourself and you say, this is true. But I want to ask you this question. Amen. Was that the intent of hell? Amen. Did the devil just really want to get your spouse? Did the devil just really want to mar your life? Amen. With a divorce. Amen. Mark upon it. Did the devil just want to hurt your heart? The answer is no. He did not just want to do that. He did not just want to make you feel the pain of that. Then what did he want? He wanted you. That's what he wanted. He wanted you. And when you go through the entire divorce, amen, and you feel the pain, and the enemy's sitting over there watching you and thinking, it won't be long before you turn your back and you walk off on God. And you say, I'll never, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm not turning my back on God. I'm not walking away. I'm not walking away from God. Amen. The enemy did not get what he wanted out of you. If you're in a financial dilemma and you feel the pain of somebody getting in your car and driving it away under the definition of repossession because that you couldn't pay for the car any longer. Amen. If you sit before a judge and you file bankruptcy and you lose everything that you had, did the devil get what he wanted? Is he going to take your car and drive it down the drag on Friday night? Amen. Whistling at everybody. No! He doesn't really want your car. He wants you! If you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you a bad report and said, sir, ma'am, I'm sorry, but it looks like the tumor that we took a biopsy on is cancerous, and you've got cancer, you've got stage 4 cancer, and I don't think that we're going to be able to help you. Amen. Did the devil really win? Did the devil really get what he wanted? Amen. And just having a positive report for cancer? No! He wanted you! That's what he wants. He wants you to say, God, why did you let this happen to me? And turn away and walk away from him. So here's what I'm saying. Though the divorce may be true, though the repossession of the car and the bankruptcy may be true, though the report of the doctor may be true, amen, the bottom line is that the devil did not get you, amen, and that's what he wants. And so you can focus upon the things that are true, the divorce, you can focus upon the cancer, you can focus upon a repossession, a bankruptcy, you can focus upon that, or you can focus on God, who is also true, amen, and turn your affection in your eyes to God and say, God, there's a lot of stuff that's going on in my life right now, but I choose to think on you. I choose to focus on you. I choose to hold close to you. I choose to draw near unto you. Amen. And to think upon you being true and pure and lovely and holy and just and honest. Let's stand this morning. That's the balance. That's the balance that Paul brings into this thing. Paul, you can focus on a jail or you can focus on God. Paul, you can focus upon 39 stripes upon your back, or you can focus upon God. Paul, you can focus upon the shipwreck, or you can focus upon God. You know why Paul was beaten 5 times? It's because he didn't quit after 4. The devil beat him once thinking, he'll quit. Paul knew better. Devil didn't take any real joy in beating me. The real joy was if I had cursed God and walked away. That's what he wanted. I refuse. After a second beating, the devil thought, sure enough, he'll do it now. No. You can focus upon the bad things, or you can choose to focus on God. You can focus on all the fear that's going on in life. or you can focus on God. Time has a way of curing a lot of things. Time has a way of eradicating fear. And people that are sitting there right now biting their fingernails into the quick, not knowing what to do. My wife asked me one time, she said, "Aren't you worried?" I said, "No, not at all." She said, "Well, I am." I said, "One's enough. Why do I need to worry if you got it taken care of?" And I know that kind of seems trivial, but the bottom line is at the end of the day, worrying didn't do a thing about it. Worrying didn't help it. Worrying didn't fix it. Praying fixes things. We come to God and we begin to pray and we begin to ask God to help us, and thinking about things pure and just and honest and true and lovely, good report, things just begin to work themselves out. Because the Bible says that God orders the steps of a righteous man. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Aren't you worried about what you're going through? No, because I know the good shepherd's leading me. He's ordering my steps. Book of Proverbs chapter number 3, he said, "Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding." I don't understand. "But with all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." God, I don't understand what I'm going through right now. I don't understand all of this that's coming upon me. But you do. So I'm just going to trust you. Just going to put my faith in you. Just going to believe in you and let you lead me and let you guide me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, I could talk about the FBI breaking into my house and nearly killing my entire family. I could talk about that because that's true. But God kept us. God helped us through it all. God's never left me. God's never forsaken me. He's been with me at all times. He's a faithful friend. And so all of those things just pale in comparison. Those things, though real for a while, fade away. But God doesn't ever fade away. His power is not diminished. The only way that God fades away is when I start turning away from Him. But as long as I'm thinking upon Him, He's the bright and the morning star, the lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. So there's a lot of things to think upon today, but I choose to think upon Him. Instead of letting my day be ruled by fear, worry, stress, God, you know where I'm at. And so I'm just going to think on you. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to open up these altars here this morning because some of us need to come think on Him. Some of us need to come think on Him. You're letting your mind get away from you. You're walking along a precipice, doing a balancing act. Sometimes you feel like you got everything in control. And at other times you feel like you're leaning way too far and you don't know if you're going to recover. And the devil is fighting for your mind. Because if he can control your mind, he'll control your heart. He'll control your affections. He'll control all kinds of things if you'll let Him. And so we're going to cast down imaginations. And we're going to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And we're not just going to major on the what ifs of life. We're going to put it on our mirror. God is good. Even on a bad day, God is good. We're going to put it on our dashboard. God is faithful. We're going to put it on our pillow. He's the Prince of Peace. We're going to put it everywhere that we are. When you open the drawers of the desk at work, it's going to be sitting there on that little paper. Friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you even unto the end of the world. Because we're going to control what we're thinking. We're going to make sure that our minds are right. When Paul is talking and he says, I find another law in my mind, warring against the law of my mind. In other words, just warring against that which I know is right and wrong. But there's another law that's warring against that. Who shall be able to deliver me from this body of death? I thank Jesus Christ. He is. How's he going to do that? I'm putting my thoughts upon him. I'm thinking about him. Casting my cares upon him because he cares for me. I'm not worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm just going to put my thoughts upon him and keep them there. Hallelujah. Oh, let's pray. Let's take a little time and pray here today. Let's take a little time.